Greetings, you're listening to St. Paul's Unseen Dimension. My name is Tom, and today is Groundhog's Day, the 2nd of February. The year is 2022. That's an eerie number, 2-0-2-2-0-2-2. Is there a pattern there? Lots of twos. I don't know. So I'm using the web application, not my Anchor app. I'm using the web application because this clown posse that created Anchor has not made an app for the Windows platform. I don't know why, because Windows is an extremely popular platform. You know, I've got the app on my tablets, but I don't have an app for the PC. Dear Anchor, my Christmas wish list now includes an app, an application. Please make it so, because this stuff right here is maddening. It is absolutely maddening. How are you doing today? Well, I'm fine, thank you. The world is treating me better than I probably deserve. I'm not going to complain. And the reason why I'm not going to complain is because there's no point. That, and I've gotten really zero to bitch about other than this Anchor thing. Nothing. I'm good. Which is unusual. I mean, it means I must have woke up in a parallel universe where this version of me is pleasantly surprised that everything is going according to the plan laid out. And I don't mean like Donald Trump, trust the plan. I mean the kind of things like, holy shit, nothing exploded today. Look at that. Unless you count Minneapolis, which has, again, screwed the pooch. Man, you know, here's the thing, and I try to give the police the benefit of the doubt. I really do. But come on, guys. Seriously? No-knock warrants in this day and age right now? Now is not the time. Now is definitely not the time to be pulling shit like this. And the reason why is because spring is coming and riot season will be on. And I don't mean to point out the obvious here, but there seems to be a protracted problem here. We have community activists out there that are trying to gin up all kinds of crazy nonsense right now, saying that this was murder and all that other stuff. Do you guys really need to, come on, seriously? Don't we live in a society where we're supposed to be innocent until proven guilty? And if you need to do a no-knock warrant, here's the thing. This is what I think no-knock warrants should be reserved for. Terrorists, rapists, murderers, and politicians that break their oath of office. Those are the four things that I can think of right now off the top of my head that no-knock warrants are ideal for. You guys have lost the drug war. Maybe no-knock warrants on people who have proven themselves to be a dangerous society, who may or may not be going to plot out some kind of crazy nonsense. But my point that I'm getting at here is that if one agency, which was St. Paul, gets Minneapolis to serve a no-knock warrant for what appears to be, from what I'm reading and what I'm gathering here, of course, in the media. Now, the media's never lied, never. And this is where, like I said, I'm going to give the police the benefit of the doubt here because I want to see the body camera footage. Until I see that, I'm going to reserve judgment. But I will say this. I am not a fan of the no-knock warrant because that to me really smacks of the old Stalinist type stuff, you know, Hitler's Night of the Long Knives kind of stuff. Anytime you're dealing with a no-knock warrant, basically what you're asking for is you're asking for people to suspend the rights and freedoms that we hold dear in this country for some leverage on a criminal. If that person is indeed a criminal, or if indeed you're raiding the right place, and apparently this place was the right place, and this guy, they roused him from his slumber at 6:30 in the morning, and God knows what, I mean, I'm awake at 6:30 in the morning, but some people are not. Some people get to sleep in, and by virtue of that, you know, this guy got up, and I mean, he did exactly what I would do. I'm a law-abiding citizen. Apparently, this guy was a law-abiding citizen too. He had a gun that he owned legally, and he went to defend himself and got shot for it. See, that's the thing. I honestly think that every citizen who's a law-abiding citizen, right? If you are a law-abiding citizen, you're not engaged in any kind of criminal activity. The first thing you need to do is you need to put a plaque on your door that says, not a criminal. Put your phone number on the plaque. Make sure that your phone's on. And say, hey, if you really, really need to talk to me, call me. We'll talk this out. I've got rights. I know what they are. And you come busting through my door like the Kool-Aid man, there's going to be a profound problem. And I think that if people took that kind of action, you know, and let the cops know where they stand, what their rights are versus what the citizens' rights are, we might have a different dialogue. We might have a different kind of outcome. But my problem right now with this thing, because it really looks like it doesn't look good. As a matter of fact, it looks pretty bad. It looks like somebody really dropped the ball here. And poor man lost his life for it. And but that's neither here nor there. I mean, here's the thing, is that this thing could actually happen to anybody. You know, this isn't something that hasn't happened before, because this has happened before. Here in St. Paul, and it's happened in Minneapolis before, where the cops rolled into the wrong house, and the guy shot the cops, and the guy got away with it because, well, he wasn't expecting company at that time in the morning. No knock warrants. The thing about the no knock warrant thing is, it really, honest to God, should be reserved for things like terrorists, murderers, rapists, kidnappers. I'll throw kidnappers in there, because that's a human trafficking, that sort of thing. And again, politicians who betray their oath of office. Those are the five things that I can think of off the top of my head. As far as drugs go, sure, yeah. You know what? If it's a big enough drug dealer, then do it. I just want you to start with Pfizer. That'd be a great place to start, considering that's where most of our ODs are coming from. That in Mexico, thanks to the fentanyl. But I digress. What do I know? I'm just a guy with a podcast. I'm not important. Anyway. No, lots of good things have been happening, though. I managed to turn the corner completely on COVID, I think. Now I'm just taking Claritin D because I've got two dogs blowing out their coats. Oh my God, I have swept up enough dog hair to basically make another dog. And if you have pets, you know what I'm talking about. If you've got dogs, especially dogs that shed, you know exactly what I'm talking about. And that's the thing, is that I have two shepherds, one that's 5 months old, or getting to be 5 months old, and one that's just 3 years old. And both of these two have decided, you know, now would be the time to blow out our coat, which means I think in early spring, because typically animals that do blow their coats and stuff like that, they're in tune with the planet cycle more so than us humans are. And so if your animal is blowing out its coat in frickin' January, that means we're probably more than likely coming into an early spring. I don't think it's going to be the long, cold, brutal winter of all winters. I think we're going to have an early spring. And I say that with, ooh, I have a certain amount of optimism. Optimism is what I would call it. I, you know, some people would call it wishful thinking. I like to think of it as unrealized fantasy. Anyway, no, all things are being what they are. I think the world is a good place. I think today will be good. I think things are going to be a lot different this year for a lot of reasons. And the biggest one that I can think of is that the Japanese are doing something rather interesting right now. They're, I kid you not, they are building, or they're going to try to build its own version of Atlantis. I kid you not. I read this and was mildly surprised because, I mean, you know, well, it's like this. Fukushima's been a gift that's been giving for a long time now. I'm not entirely sure that these are the folks I would task with basically building Rapture, you know. A city under the ocean. Impossible. They said it was impossible to build Rapture at the bottom of the sea. It's not impossible to build it. It was impossible to build it anywhere else. I'm paraphrasing, mind you, from the BioShock soundtrack. But apparently they're going to build this like spiral type city, and it's going to go down into the ocean. It looks like a big spring, you know. And they've got submarines that look like sharks. I mean, to be honest with you, this looks more like fantasy than anything else. The biodome type thing on the inside, geodesic dome, very strong. Speaking, however, I don't think they've taken into consideration what it's going to take to displace that much water for that much airspace. How much of, you know, especially sealing the stuff, you know, making sure that there's no voids, no cracks, no leaks. And then that's not even counting the air scrubbers or the dehumidity that are dehumidifiers they got to put into place to bring this thing to a, think of it as like building a gigantic submarine and praying that there's no pinhole welds or anything else, any flaws in it. And here's the other thing too, is that, and the one thing I have noticed, especially about submarines, is that they now basically just dip them in like rubber, like this giant thick hide of rubber. And that's what basically makes them invisible in the water. And that would be one thing to do, take all of the components as you make them, and dip them in some kind of like heavy duty vulcanized rubber that when pressure is applied, it creates its own seal. But that's just me. I have these ideas. No one asks me these questions. But anyway, they're talking about it. 4,000 meters beneath the sea. And it's going to cost, I guess, upwards of about 19 billion euros, which would probably be, I don't know, 25 million American or 25 billion American dollars. And you know what flows me, it just really floors me, is that the idea that they're actually, they had this idea, they unveiled it in 2014, and they want to put 5,000 people in there by 2030, but there's been zero updates on progress since. I would be really interested to see how this is going. I really would. And the reason why is because living under the ocean would probably be interesting, but it would also be fairly claustrophobic. You're not going to get the vitamin D that you're going to get, you know, up here on the surface. Although being underneath that kind of pressure, you might come out with some kind of muscular advancement, but your lungs may not function the same. There's a lot of things here that kind of go with like deep sea diving type stuff. And from my perspective, I think that building a city under the sea is great. I also think that there's going to be some side effects. And I'm not making a joke here. I'm not talking about, you know, like there's going to be splicers and all that other stuff from, you know, rapture or any of that stuff. I'm talking about actual biological changes. Because, you know, here's the thing is the human body has a certain a biome, you know, of its own that it learns to adapt to its environment, just like any other animal. We're not that much different than, you know, any other quadruped or any other wild animal on the planet. We adapt to our environment, and where we can't adapt, we try to, I guess, make it so that we, you know, have less of a difficult time. It's like, you know, when we live in the desert, we dig wells. You know, when we live in the tropics, we try to build some kind of shelter to keep the insects and snakes and stuff out. You know, when we live in the, you know, the cold climate culture, we try building houses because winter is coming. You know, White Walkers and Tauntauns and the Empire every once in a while. You see where I'm going with this? The idea of building something under the ocean, I think it'd be unprecedented unless it's been done in a previous civilization that endured an extinction event. I mean, they're saying that we're already having the sixth extinction event right now, which I don't believe. I really don't. And the reason why is because the killer robots haven't shown up yet. Anyway, but yeah, that's one of the news articles I found interesting today. I thought that was actually kind of cool. There was a couple other ones too that I was actually going to talk about. Actually, the one that I really wanted to talk about was the Havana syndrome. Ooh, that one's a big scary one. I just wish this stupid thing would work. I'm fighting with my tablet, by the way. I'm actually having to, while I have the while I have the Anchor app open, I need to have it open all the way, and I can't really just be browsing everywhere. Because multiple windows on this machine, for whatever reason, oh, please don't do that. Don't you do that. Okay. It's just, I'm not used to putting this stuff, to put it together like this. I mean, Anchor's a great app, but their web interface is just atrocious. I mean, it really is. And it's one of those things where it's like, you know, fighting it is difficult. It really is. But I digress. Where is that article that I saw? Here we go. Directed energy weapons could explain unsolved Havana syndrome cases, U.S. intelligence panel finds. Now, here's the other thing, too. Now, if you're familiar with this phenomena, a lot of our ambassadors and diplomats and stuff like that are finding themselves dealing with, that was very strange. I just heard the strangest crash upstairs. Listening for more sounds. I don't hear anybody moving around up there. Okay, I'm going to get back to this. Anyway, panel convened by the U.S. intelligence community has assessed that the core symptoms of some unsolved Havana syndrome cases cannot be explained by mass hysteria or psychosomatic effects alone. They could be caused by pulsed energy or pulsed electromagnetic or ultrasonic energy. There's some weird stuff going on here. We have diplomats and all kinds of different folks in the State Department that go to these, they're like foreign embassies, right? And they're coming down with these strange illnesses, like they've been irradiated. And they call it Havana syndrome because it started, I guess, in the Havana embassy. And what's really weird is that they have found that it's, they don't think it's the Russians, and they don't think it's the Chinese doing this, which is, I mean, that would have been probably my second guess. Because here's the thing about the Russians is that the Russians, they have some pretty interesting tech, but I don't think they're really malicious. They, it's like saying, you know, here we are, we're spying on you. That's never been the Russians' mindset. They're always like, they have all of the stuff in the world to spy on you, but they just assume that you know that you're spying, they're spying on you, you know? And so they don't have to, you know, be malicious about it. You know, they don't have to start, you know, they don't have to start shocking people with these types of devices. But anyway, their latest assessment comes as lawmakers and victims have also been pressed the Biden administration for a more comprehensive response to the incidents, which have affected hundreds of American diplomats and intelligence officials on every continent except Antarctica. U.S. Officials spanning three presidential administrations have struggled to understand these incidents. This has been going on for 20-plus years. Moving forward, the work of the IC Experts Panel will sharpen the work of the IC and broader U.S. government as we focus on possible causes. Haynes and Burns added in their joint statement, we will stay at it with continued rigor and forever how long it lasts. So they're actually paying attention to this stuff. The problem is the who. Who's doing these things? And more importantly, what kind of weapon is this? Is it a microwave? So that would have been my first thought. Microwaves. I don't know. Could be some kind of radiation. I don't know. I've seen some weird stuff. I've seen like these strange YouTube videos of these people who have been recently vaccinated. And this one, this there's a woman in a nail salon. And her phone gives off this strange flash and she has strokes. She has a stroke and just dies within seconds. And it's the weirdest thing I've ever seen. But there's a lot of folks that are having these experiences. Very strange. And then, of course, Boris Johnson. They got his news and it's just ridiculous. Oh, excuse me. I'm taking a battery of these different supplements right now, and some of them are causing not acid reflux, but more like just kind of a general indigestion. And every once in a while, I get some weird stuff. But there is some good news. 3 out of 5, they trust Punxsutawney Phil over the meteorologist. So apparently Groundhog has it over on the weatherman. They know more about what's coming. It's sad. It's sad, really, when your meteorologist knows less than a quadruped that is basically a rodent. So, I don't know if you guys remember the last podcast I did when I talked about monkeys. The questions remain after a highway crash involving monkeys. Because this isn't weird at all, you know. It's been 11 days since a truck hauling 100 monkeys. Now, I'm going to say that there's probably a conservative estimate here. If it's a gross of monkeys, it's 144. That means there are 44 monkeys missing. That's my belief. It's my belief. Unless they bought 10 cases of monkeys, then it's 120. So there's only 20 monkeys missing. But anyway, that's my personal opinion. I don't think they sell monkeys singularly. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. But in the 11 days since a truck hauling 100 monkeys from Mauritius crashed in Pennsylvania, one woman who got close enough to the scattered crates of monkeys on the highway has been treated for possible symptoms of illness. And Kenya Airways, which is believed to have transported the monkeys to the United States, has decided not to renew its expiring contract to ship research primates here. Ooh, the plot thickens. No other reports of possible illnesses related to the crash have emerged, according to the state and federal health officials, who said it was not known whether the Pennsylvania woman's symptoms were related to, oh, cripe, cynomolgus macaques, which are being quarantined and monitored for diseases. Experts say that direct exposure to monkey saliva or feces can be dangerous, but that the risk of a broader outbreak was very low. The woman, named Michelle Fallon, of Danville, Pennsylvania, said on Tuesday that she had been given two doses of the rabies vaccine, antiviral medication, and antibiotic drops, eye drops, after she had a runny nose, a cough, and filmy buildup in the crust of her eye. She also vomited over the weekend, which she said possibly because of the antiviral medication. She said her eye was much improved and that she was feeling better, though she still felt queasy. She said she was waiting the results of a blood test of monkey-borne diseases and was grateful for the advice she had been receiving from Dr. Lisa Jones Engel, a primate scientist who works with people for the ethical treatment of animals, which has long opposed primate research and has asked two federal agencies to investigate the crash. It's not like the monkeys were driving. There was a human at the wheel. Ms. Fallon said she was driving home January 21st in Montour County, about 150 miles northwest of Philadelphia, when she saw the crash in which a dump truck had hit a pickup truck that was hauling a trailer with the monkeys. The monkeys had arrived at Kennedy International Airport in New York and were on their way to a quarantine facility. So it's a trailer full of monkeys. Ms. Fallon stopped to see if anyone was hurt and found the crate strewn across the roadway. Told by a bystander that cats might be inside, she stuck her finger in one and saw brown fur. When the animal made a weird noise, she put her face closer to get a better look, and that's when she noticed that it wasn't a cat but a monkey, which hissed at her. She said she felt a mist. Well, there it is. She's been infected with monkey virus. She also stepped in monkey poop, she said. That night, she went to a party with people who later tested positive for the coronavirus. She said that Ms. Fallon, that while she herself had tested negative, the series of events added up to the worst day of my life. Three of the monkeys escaped after the crash, but were quickly found and inhumanely euthanized. Ooh, Center for Disease Control and Prevention said without offering any further details. Well... let's dispose of the evidence. Clive, Barney, Vito, you know what you did. Now you gotta take a dirt nap. You know, silencer. You got like a mafia hitman guy shows up, CDC. Yeah. You're carrying contraband, you filthy, dirty monkeys. You know, and then, you know, they just ate them. You know, they just ice them out, you know, and done. Either that or they got a bunch of these goddamn guys that go, dang old man, there's a monkey in the tree, holy crap. You know, they probably get a bunch of bow hunters out there or something like that. I don't know. Here's the thing. This story has always been a little weird to me, mostly because it's the number of monkeys, and now it's the fact that it was a trailer full of monkeys being pulled by a pickup truck. That's about as retarded. I mean, I don't mean to use the R word in the sense of like it sounds like special needs. I'm just thinking it's very stupid to take that sort of chance with the health and well-being of your fellow human beings, not to mention the monkeys themselves. Because these trailers, you know, they're, if you have a trailer and you fill it full of monkeys, it's a lot different than having, like, let's say a semi-trailer full of monkeys, or a rider moving van full of monkeys, because that's an enclosed environment where nothing short of, you know, a catastrophic event is going to allow those monkeys to escape. This is a trailer. This is probably the same kind of trailer I've got, you know, for towing stuff and hauling crap from the lumberyard. This is probably no different than that. So from my perspective, this looks like idiocy. Oh, cripe. It looks like I got to take a break because this is the app says I got to quit at 30 minutes. So I'll come right back. Thanks. Before I was so, well, technologically cut off from my thoughts. That's the one thing I love about this this web app. Half hour segments. I think in some ways, I think it's a little more digestible than me yammering on for 45 minutes or whatever. It also is probably a way to get you to put in advertising and all of that stuff. And that's fine. I do this podcast. I don't get paid for it. And clearly, you five listeners are probably knowing well beyond anyone else the reasons why. No one should be charged for listening to this, and nobody should be paying me to do it either. All kidding aside, though, it appears that I may have been onto something with the Twinkie ivermectin thing. Because apparently Japan and a lot of other nation states are pulling a 180 on the ivermectin thing. And I don't know if it's because, you know, they found a new way to dispense apple-flavored horse paste into a Twinkie like I did. Or maybe it's just, you know, maybe the time has come to make ivermectin-filled Twinkies. I don't know. But there seems to be a lot of people saying that this stuff will kill COVID now. Who knew? I would never have guessed that it took me so long to find a way to take apple flavored horse paste and find a way to deliver it without it being just ridiculously grotesque. But I managed to find a way. I did. Now, if I could find horses that like chocolate, then I would have chocolate flavored ivermectin, but they don't have chocolate flavored ivermectin because apparently horses were never meant to eat chocolate or even know what chocolate tastes like. I'm sure that there's probably some kind of, you know, thing about that. It's like dogs having chocolate, they can't have it. I'm wondering if horses have that same problem. Not that I'm willing to find out. I just kind of want to know, but I don't want to know. I want someone else to tell me. I don't want to actually hurt any horses. I love horses. Horses are animals. They're awesome. And for me, you know, I'm a big animal person. Let me see here. And I don't really see anything else in the news because it's all political. It's all political and all nonsense. I was looking for paranormal stuff again, but I just couldn't find anything interesting. And to be perfectly honest with you, there isn't very much that interests me these days in the way of the paranormal because so much of it I can just dismiss. Today I watched a video. I made a mistake of watching a video. The 10 most believable UFO and alien encounters caught on tape. And it was a YouTube thing. And in every single one of them, I was like, that's a deer looking into a close-up of a deer in a trail camera. Then there was the guy who you could clearly see he was wearing tactical pants and a flannel shirt. You could see it. There's artifacts in the image. And then the next one after that was like UFO stuff. And then they were talking about the Tic Tac UFO thing. And then you get to the end, right? And it's this guy, Stan Romanek, who is a fraud, and he's full of shit. And he's also somebody who's gotten involved in child pornography to a degree. And if you're going to look at that guy's stuff and go, oh, yeah, that's definitely real, you're a fucking idiot. And I probably shouldn't say anything about it, but it's just like, you know, seriously, if you fucking don't understand what this stuff is, and if you have absolutely no critical thinking skills, stay the fuck out of the paranormal. Really, just stay the fuck out of it. If you're making clickbait, tell people It's just clickbait. But other than that, stay the fuck out of the paranormal. We have too many fucking idiots and frauds in this mess. We don't need any more. We're full up on fucking crazy here. Damn. Anyway, I know that I sound like I'm going off like a broken record again, but I just... You reach a point to where you're like, come on, stop being morons. Is it so hard to be intellectually honest? And if it is, do that shit at like fucking Best Buy or something like that. Try to scam one of those guys out of a free computer or some shit. Don't do it here. Don't do it in the paranormal. Don't. Just fucking don't. Again, here I go, you know, just losing my shit over nothing. I don't know. Haven't had anything unusual. Although I will say this about dimensional travel. And I'm gonna go off on a bit of a tangent here. So I've been rearranging my studio. I've got a studio upstairs and I got one in the basement. And the reason why that I'm set up this way is because one of my studios is for just the podcast. And it's got, you know, nothing of value in it. It's just got a computer in it and this microphone and, you know, monitor and shit. And my sculpting studio is upstairs. And the thing is that I like having a diversification in space. I don't like to have just one big room full of stuff, mostly because this room is a distraction. If I'm working on art, I can just turn on my monitor and watch something, and I don't want to do that. Or if I have writing to do, you know, I would much rather just focus on the writing than be looking at the sculpture work I'm trying to get dragged out and just going, you know, I really should be working on that. It's like I have certain disciplines that I make time for every day, and that's what I do. And so, items that you think you've lost just vanished, right? Sometimes they reappear. They just reappear out of nowhere. I had that happen recently, and this is not the first time this has happened. There are things where I have combed the entire freaking house for stuff, and it just reappears out of fucking nowhere. And I began to wonder, and I know this is going to sound crazy. No, not for me anyway. This will be like the standard fare. I'm wondering if there isn't a thin spot in my universe where every once in a while it shifts and it overlaps between this universe and the adjacent universe. And I think that's where things disappear. And then when things contract back into shape, then they just reappear. Because I've been experiencing a lot of lost and found articles lately. And I'm like, this could not have been here this entire fucking time. Like, I had a set of these angle clamps for a 90-degree angle for framing. And I had four of them in a pile. Not in a pile, but they were put in a strategic place where I could get to them. And then one day, there was only three. And then I was like, no, this isn't right. I had four of these things. And then one day, I had four again. And this is the kind of random shit that happens. And I know that it's you can chalk it up to, dude, you're just misplacing stuff. You got too much crap. And I would be the first to go there. However, there have been times where I have, with my own two eyes and own two hands, looked. I mean, I have cleaned entire rooms out bare to the walls looking for stuff and never found it. than have it materialize just out of the blue. And the thing is, nobody comes over. Nobody. I don't have friends that come over to the house or any of that stuff. They just give me a wide berth, I guess. All my friends are on the phone or on the PC, and or we meet in a neutral place. You know, it's just someplace in public, you know, that sort of thing. And it's like, look, I do a podcast, but I'm not Alex Jones. You know, I'm not that kind of crazy. I'm just a little weird. But I've been having a lot of those moments. And that's the thing about objects, too, is that they tie you to things. They tie you to different points in your life. It's like I've got a hammer that I've had for over 30 years. I've got a set of calipers I've had since eighth grade. You know, I mean, I've got art supplies I've had for, 30 plus years. You know, and hell, I've got comic book pages I bought in 2010 that I haven't even used. I've got, oh my God, I have an embarrassment of art supplies because I always thought that I would have all the time in the world to get all this work done. And then things got in the way of projects that I started because I was too busy chasing down a dollar. And I found that chasing down a dollar was not as profitable as other people made it sound. So I decided that I was just going to go ahead and just focus, take 2022 and be as productive and prolific as I possibly can, making art and writing and getting the things out that I should have had out 10 years ago. Shit, 20 years ago. 25 years ago. That's the other thing, too, is that coming up on that 25th year anniversary of finding out my mom was dying of cancer. That's going to be on the 8th. I was going to give my mom a call on her birthday. And every year that goes by that she's been gone, I have even more mixed emotions, none of which are really that positive. My mother and I were never, I guess, really friends. And but the thing of it is that people, even when they're mean to you, can leave a hole in your heart. That's the truth. So if you've got an acrimonious relationship with your family or your parents or any of that stuff, if there's one person on the planet that's going to understand you, it's definitely going to be me. Because sometimes you get the cards you're dealt, and other times you just, you know, you get lucky. And other people that I've seen and I've known have been far luckier than I have in the parental department. And I'm not going anywhere with this. I'm just saying that between the time disruption, the missing objects, and of course, memory lane, I have vowed to make 2022 the most creative of my life. Because last year was a shit show. And 2020, also a shit show. We're 2 years into a plandemic. We're 2 years into a lie that is starting to unravel. And they're now trying to find new ways to cover their tracks so that people don't, you know, lose their baskets and start marching and all that other shit. I guess the point that I'm getting at is that after having had COVID, I don't want to live for anything else. I want to be the person that I've always been, a creator, a maker, an artist, and just do that. And do that to my very best ability without all the baggage and the bullshit. I don't want to talk to people about selling my stuff. I'll just talk about the creative process. That's my ultimate goal, is to be in a position where all I have to do is just talk about the creative process and make art, you know? And I've got a plan, and things are coming together very nicely for it. That's the other thing, too, is that when my plans actually come together, they are quite good. I just put a splinter in my finger. Yike. I need that finger for making art later. And the dim mock, you know, the death touch. Yeah. No, I'm kidding. There's a lot of people out there that have that luxury. And it's not that I want to chase that dream. I just want to live it. You know, there's a difference between chasing and living it. See, if you're chasing it, you're not living it. But if you live it, I guess you are chasing it at the same time. There's that strange dichotomy there. You cannot have one without the other. So you have to live like you're an artist. Be an artist. And that's kind of where I'm at now. A lot of good things, like I said, have come my way. And a lot of positive energy has been bestowed upon me. I guess that's the dividend that I have coming from being a sane man in an insane world, or at least being the one who's the most equipped for this insanity. I don't know, getting over COVID really amplified that belief that I have a job to do here. Because I think if I wasn't supposed to get over it, I should have been dead. And that being said, I've had some other people that said, dude, I've got COVID. Like, yeah, I kind of figured you were going to get it. And I know a lot of other folks that got sick and didn't get it, but they're sick as shit. So, I mean, it's half, six of one, half a dozen of another. You know, it is what it is. You know, you look at these diseases and you roll the dice and hope that you come out okay. And that's the real problem, is that some people, they don't turn out okay. And that's the sad truth, is that sometimes there are just some people you can't save. And I know a lot about that. I do. But on that note, not to be negative, I'm going to actually focus on more positive things. I'm going to actually start uploading some new stuff to the websites. I've got some Randonautica plans too, once the weather changes. I really want to get out and try this app because I'm paying for it every month. It seems a little stupid, but I am paying for it I'm paying for it every 3 months. It's a quarterly deal. And that's kind of what I would love to do. I'd love to do a lot of stuff with it, mostly because it has the most promise to bring me in touch with the weird stuff. I just need to set up my desires and see how much of it dovetails with the reality that I'm shown. Anyway, I think I've chatted long enough. It's approaching 50 minutes now, and nobody needs to listen to me yammer for more than that. So I hope you folks have a fantastic weekend, and I hope that the groundhog where you live, you know, had some good news for you. Take care and good night, as soon as I get this mouse to work.